Hello and welcome to Skinner House Soundbites. I'm Dari Madden. In this episode, I'm speaking with Reverend Erica Hewitt. She's the minister at the Live Oak Congregation in Goleta, California, and the author of Story, Song, and Spirit, Fun and Creative Worship Services for All Ages. Tell us why Unitarian Universalist congregations should think about engaging in multi-generational worship.
Well, not all, but I think a lot of UU congregations would benefit from doing worship in just a different way. And by worship, I know some congregations say Sunday services, so that's what I mean by worship. There is something that changes when children and youth are present or are invited to be active. There's a way in which the congregation sees itself as not just the adults in one building or room and the young people off somewhere else, but when the congregation sees and experiences itself as a community of all generations where all people of all ages can learn and grow together, it's a very solid physical manifestation of what we value, of who we are. And I think it's also important for Unitarian Universalist congregations to ask what there might be beyond the traditional model of worship, which is having the entire service centered around the sermon, or might be a more sedentary or less active form of worship. And I think it's always interesting to push the envelope and find ways that still bring us still bring the spirit into the room, still inspire us, and still challenge us and nourish us, but might be different than what we're used to.
Can you tell us how you approach doing this logistically and philosophically?
Well, philosophically, the way I approach worship for all ages pretty much centers around story. And in the book, I describe that I grew very dissatisfied with my own efforts to do intergenerational worship, where, you know, I shrunk the sermon down so that people didn't have to, you know, kids didn't have to sit still as long. And then I took the story and I made it a little longer. And my approach was to realize that doesn't work very well. And inspired in part by my colleague Greg Ward and his fantastic work, I realized that taking one story and fleshing it out and bringing it to life over the full arc of the service, all, you know, 45, 50, 60 minutes, was a way to create a new playground for what we do. So logistically, what the way I approach this work is by finding a story that is detailed enough and complex enough to be told throughout a service, you know, not just a little one-scene story, but something where there's a conflict and some resolution, and finding a way to support that story being brought to life with actors, with song, and then usually with some kind of interactive moments or ritual so that the congregation is helping to tell the story and thereby telling their own story, stories.
How much planning is involved in putting together one of these?
Well, good question. A good service, any worship service, needs to be planned in advance. And these services rely on a lot of volunteers. And so that means the planning has to be backed up even further. I tend to make sure that I have a minimum of 6 weeks to move through one of these services. And that's because it takes some time to familiarize yourself with the story, the script, and to recruit actors to be part of it, to find a good balance between adults and possibly children or youth who might want to be in it, giving them the script so they're comfortable with it, having a conversation together about the vision for the service. And I also explain in the book that when your volunteer team, whether they're actors or musicians, when they, every time you meet, it's also a wonderful vehicle for just forming relationship So the goal isn't just we're going to plan this service and then do it. The goal is we're going to work together in a new way and get to know one another. So over the course of imagining what the service is going to be like, you can also have conversations about things like costumes and props and how the music might support the ritual, if there is one. And by ritual, I mean the congregation in some of my services is invited to name or even write down and share something of their journey as individuals that relates to the theme, and that gets can be shared publicly. And then I think it has to be said that it's very important for the service to be rehearsed. And that can take, it might be one rehearsal, it might be two. The first rehearsal is generally an exercise in kind of chaos, but it's also fun and exciting, and it might be a couple of hours. But it's, again, it's the point is to have people working together in this new way, and then on the day of the service, it's about really holding the vessel of the community in that worship space and worship time, and then letting people be praised and affirmed for their piece in the shared ministry.
How often would you recommend that a congregation do one of these? I'm sure the answer is that it varies, but I wonder what the factors are.
I instinctively, the first thing I want to say is I think what does not work is for a congregation to say, we are going to do intergenerational worship every 6 weeks. To give yourself a timetable and then to expect to meet it can sort of suck some of the joy out of it. Because when you start feeling like you're doing it because you have to, because it's on the schedule, a little bit harder to come up with that enthusiasm. That being said, the more often multi-generational worship happens, the more the congregation understands that, oh, this is part of what we do. This is part of our worship life. So in my congregation, sometimes we've fallen into a pattern where we do one every 3 months. I have been in congregations where we tried to do one every month. That was a real challenge. And it's really hard to make these services strong and meaningful. And I feel like a congregation's energy should be put into doing these services well and strongly and meaningfully when they happen, rather than saying, "Oh, it's the third Sunday, so we've got to come up with something." Because no one enjoys doing that.
How would you characterize what the challenges are in creating these?
Well, that's what I was referring to in the last question. The challenge is, without a strong blueprint, without resources like this book, or without resources like Greg Ward's website, which has a fantastic compendium. I just want to say, it has like a fantastic compendium of scripts, and that website is uuintergenerational.org. So without the building blocks, you're faced with a lot of challenges. Once you've got a script and in mind, and once you've got a theme and getting the team together, the challenges might be getting people all in the same time and same place to rehearse it and feel comfortable. Philosophically, it could be that one of the challenges in the congregation are the preconceived notions about what intergenerational worship is. If the congregation has a lackluster history or experience with these, there might not be a lot of enthusiasm for it. And so then the challenge for worship leaders becomes to educate the members to saying, you know, if we value everyone of every ages, and if we truly believe that the relationships we have together is at the heart of who we are, then we need to put that into practice in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings. So depending on the congregation, the challenges might be different.
You've touched on this a little as you've been answering the questions, but how would you talk about the benefits of this in some of the ways that you haven't already spoken of them?
Well, in a private note to my colleagues who are parish ministers, the private note is it's a wonderful break from the weekly slog up at the Sermon Hill. It is such a nice experience to not, sequester yourself on your writing day or writing days to produce the sermon. And so that's one benefit, is it really is a handing over of shared leadership and shared ministry and inviting people to step in as worship leaders. And I have to say, when I put out open notices to the congregation saying, I would like, six people to be actors, I call them players, in Worship for All Ages, almost every time I'm surprised by someone who steps forward. And I have been delighted over and over again to see people kind of take on this new role, to take on new life, for the congregation to see them in a new way, someone who might normally be, just come to worship and people don't know them well. There's something about allowing the congregation to see the gifts, I call them the hams in our midst, the people who step forward often, just there's a real grace in it. So I think there is great value anytime we do things in our congregations where people say, you haven't seen this gift in me yet, but now I want to show you the gift. And I think the final benefit that I've mentioned over and over is the relationship piece of inviting people to see themselves on Sunday morning as a community that truly embraces and relishes every person, whether they're 6 months old or 106 years old. And it happens slowly over time, but it's just magical and mysterious when it happens.